With our fifth season pretty much in the books and the off season upon us, we decided it might be time to replay some of our favorite episodes, including some or all of the Patreon-only content from the original release. If you're enjoying these replays, please let us know, and we'll keep them going. This week, we go back to season two, which includes Matt's first appearance on the podcast, as Rob interviewed four former presidents and myself about their time starting and running Mitch's Misfits. We broke this one up into two parts, and we hope you enjoy.
Tech Hockey Guide presents the Chasing McNaughton Podcast, covering the Michigan Tech Huskies and the CCHA with your host, Tim Brown, Rob Gilreath, Dustin Lindstrom, and Matt Cavender.
Welcome to episode 11 of the second season of the Chasing McNaughton podcast. I'm Tim Brown, your host, and I'm joined this week by Dustin Lindstrom.
Hey, everyone.
And Rob Gilreath.
Hey, everybody.
This week's going to be a very different, with no games to recap and no games to preview. Most likely, by the time this comes out, it'll probably be official that the Ferris State series is not going to happen, at least not when it's scheduled. So instead, we've decided to invite a handful of former leaders with Mitch's Misfits and focus on them this week. As some of you might know, I am the godfather of the group, but I was never actually president. So we've decided to round up. Did I do my math right? We got four former presidents here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To join us, we've got president number two, Bethlyn McCallum, who's now Bethlyn Cumming.
Hey, Tim. Hey, Dustin, Rob, everybody.
President number five, Gina Salvi.
Hi.
President number eight, Alex Dinsmore.
Hey, everyone.
And president number 10 and current Tech Hockey Guide editor, Matt Cavender.
What it do?
I like the flair.
Thanks to all of you for joining us on such short notice, since this was all kind of decided this morning, even though it was Matt's idea. Was that middle of last week?
It was something like that, yeah. I knew we were going to have a filler week like this, and I'm happy we're able to get it together. Yeah.
We'll be mainly discussing the history of Mitch's Misfits, but we'll probably still talk about Huskies current events. I don't think we got much out of the Joe show, but maybe we'll talk about that. Maybe some WCHA action and maybe a little bit about World Juniors. It kind of depends on how long the Misfits part of this goes. Before we take a break, I wanted to touch on one thing. We fund everything at Tech Hockey Guide from our patrons. You can become one at patreon.com/techhockeyguide. We'll be doing a monthly Zoom chat. I really need to bug Brad Patterson because I haven't heard back from him in a while, and I really need to get that scheduled so we can actually do that here in January before it gets too long or too late. He's currently the head coach of the Youngstown Phantoms and was a player at Michigan Tech when I was a student before the whole Mitch's Misfits thing happened. If you sign up at the white level or above, which is $2 a month, you can attend those monthly Zoom chats. Since the podcast started, we've done extended versions of the podcast for our patrons at the black level or above, which is $5 a month. This level also includes an authentic MTU jersey patch after you've given $10. We actually added our 25th patron this week, so thank you to Dave Hertler. Hope I got that right. On being the latest patron to join at the black level, our most popular level, thanks to the extended versions where you can hear the greatest hits such as us discussing the best smart switches for your home. I don't know what else we've had on random tangents that we've left in there.
There have been some good ones. Definitely some good ones.
But if you sign up, you can go listen to those extended versions all the way back to the beginning, to the unpublished episode zero. So let's do the thank you notes plus a brief note from our sponsor, because we need those pennies from each listen. And we'll come back and let Rob take the lead as we discuss Mitch's Misfits, the best student group in college hockey.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Are you in the market for insurance? Have your rates for home, auto, boat, or more been increasing?
way beyond inflation? If so, maybe it's time you spoke with Aaron Piedla and the team at Arcadia Insurance Group, serving Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and more. Who better to serve you than a former Michigan Tech player? For more information, call 866-511-1069 or go to arcadiaagency.com.
Fibke Dental is a general dentistry practice located in downtown Rhinelander, Wisconsin, home of the Hodag. Look online at FibkeDental.com or find them on Facebook. They do pain-free dentistry for kids, adults, people that went to great schools, and people that ended up at Northern Michigan. Stop in and say hi between 8 and 5 and tell them THG sent you. That is FibkeDental.com.
All right, Rob, take it away.
All right. So seeing how Tim is a part of this panel, I'm going to try to be the one to lead it along here tonight. And so Tim doesn't have to actually be asking questions to himself and being a little awkward. So I think we'll get started off with the origin story of the Misfits. And I'll put that to you to start with, Tim. How did the Misfits get started? Where'd the name come from? Just give us that little brief synopsis there for those.
Brief synopsis. It's like two pages, but okay.
Read away. Best dramatic prose.
So I was the founder of Mitch's Misfits along with Chris Nesbitt. During the 2003-2004 season, many of the original members of Mitch's Misfits became diehard fans after Michigan Tech's amazing comeback against Northern Michigan at the first home game of the season in 2003, where the Huskies won 7-6 when trailing 6-3 with, what, 4.5 minutes left? Well, that's when we started scoring, but Northern went up 6-3 with 4.5 minutes left or so. Yeah. This happened on October 18th, 2003, and I think, well, Rob, you weren't there. Your dad left early with you, right?
We were going down the hill.
So, Dustin, Beth Lynn, you were there.
I was there.
That kind of cemented things for you, Dustin, right? Because was that your first game your freshman year?
That was my first
year?
Game of freshman year, yeah.
Yeah.
It was my second game. I had attended at Northern the day before, which was also a crazy game.
But yeah. So, that's game sparked many of us to begin attending home games regularly. The next home series against Vermont, Section L, behind the penalty boxes, was almost completely empty, if you can believe that. So, some of us began congregating there, standing most of the game and being rowdy throughout. I personally was getting bothered quite a bit by campus police for my antics, to the point that I ended up contacting Coach Russell and the athletic director at the time, Rick Yeo, to help defend me. And they did. There was a meeting between public safety, the athletics department, the SDC facilities, and the coaching staff to determine what I was and was not allowed to do to make it easier on all of us, because no one was used to rowdy home fans at hockey games. Boy, I really buttered myself up back when I wrote this a couple years ago. The hockey players loved it, and at each home game, the number of people in Section L continued to grow. We began to have more organized cheers and a large contingent of rowdy fans. While on a road trip to watch the team play in Duluth, Chris Nesbitt and I were having drinks at a local watering hole, trying to come up with a name.
You can at least give it a plug.
Does it even exist anymore?
The sports card?
Oh, yeah,
it's still there.
I thought it had issues here, yeah, but okay. Yeah,
I thought it was there as of the last time I was in Duluth. So
yeah, I thought they had issues. Maybe it's closed because of COVID, not anything else.
I think they closed after COVID hit.
Or the saloon closed.
That was the final straw. Like,
anyway, it was Grandma's Sports Garden in Duluth. So that was on January 23rd, 2004. So we were hanging out with Mitch Lake and the rest of the radio SID crew that made the trip, trying to think of a name. And Mitch's Misfits came to mind since we stood in Section L directly behind Mitch Lake, who at the time was down in the penalty box area. And we'd always felt like we were such misfits trying to bring energy to that building, not to mention all the struggles that we were having between the students and the campus police. And, so we asked Mitch's permission.
And we love alliterations.
Yeah, we love alliteration. It sounded good, yep. Right? So we asked Mitch. He gave us permission, and that was it. We gained so much attention that TV6 out of Marquette actually came to Houghton to do a Someplace Special segment on me and some of the core group. I'll never forget how pissed off. I'll have to look at the video again to remember his name, but one of the guys was so pissed off that he was labeled as my sidekick.
Greg Anton.
Yeah, Greg Anton. That's right. I think that pissed him off to the point that he like stopped being a crazy fan of the game. He kind of disappeared.
I don't know. I haven't seen your actual written up origin story here because I never technically was a misfit myself, right?
Yeah. So, and it only went out to the presidents. At the top.
Yeah, you already threw out. I had to redo one of your trivia questions already.
You did?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Wonderful. My trivia question for your year was, what Eastern team did we play?
Vermont.
That year. Yeah.
You know what's really funny? Is I probably wouldn't have remembered that because.
It was the only thing that kind of jumped out at me from that year.
Replace it with which Colorado team did we play four times that year? Because it's got to be one of the two.
I threw another question in by looking at the stats right here. So yeah, that's the story of, you know, how the Misfits got started. But let's go in. Let's go in order here.
There's one more detail.
One more. Okay,
I'll do one more detail. Well, I'll finish this paragraph.
And there's more.
So.
He's just reading up the story that's gassing him off for the fans. I love it.
Well, anyway, the video's on YouTube. I'm sure Matt will link to it in the thing, in the Someplace Special.
Oh, you know I will.
So at some point, I had befriended the owner of Mix 93, and at the time, he had offered to buy 100 t-shirts for the Misfits, so I worked on a design, the ever-infamous zebra with a stick up its ass. Which I still have a couple of somewhere. We'll have to get a picture for that. So we worked up the design. The t-shirts were given away to students at Winter Carnival on February 6, 2004, which is basically what we consider the birth of Mitch's Misfits, even though technically they were not officially a student organization until the following year. And at that point, I had had a bet with Dave Nordstrom, the head of the facilities, who's actually future Husky Alex Nordstrom's, relation. I guess I'm not 100% sure on if it's uncle or what it is. So I won't say it. Anyway, he didn't think I could actually fill Section L with a bunch of people standing for the whole game. I did on Carnival February 6th. So he hand delivered a whole pizza to us for doing that. And then the following year when Mitchell O'Loughlin became the official president was when we had to switch to our current logo, but basically the current logo, because it has been tweaked a little bit again, right, Matt?
I wouldn't say the logo was tweaked. I just one year to try to keep
the
some
shirt
interest.
Design.
Yeah, I just tweaked the shirt design through a contest, try to keep people more interested.
Yeah,
I was happy with the response to that. Then I think we ended up with a pretty cool design for the shirt.
So that's the intro to how the Misfits got started, right? So let's go into an intro of how each of you guys got started with the Misfits. Obviously, we know Tim's and Bethlen's here because it's a part of the origin story, right? But let's jump to Gina. How did you get involved first with the Misfits? What was your draw? Because you were there for some...
The bad years.
Some
the bad years. I went to high school in Morehead, Minnesota, so that was a super hockey rich community, and so I think K-Day or whatever start of the year saw the Misfits and they're like, oh yeah, go to hockey. I was like, okay, got me. So I went to a hockey game. I was like, yep, this is my calling. Like I like these people, this is fun. So I started going, and then I started making friends, and I made friends with Bethlen and Jaeger and Ross and all sorts of people that I'm still friends with to this day. So yeah, it was a good time. And I missed more than like two games my entire college career. So it was a good time.
And for those that don't know Gina just by voice or by picture, a lot of people know you by a couple other things that are, you know, typical, right?
Stilettos.
Yeah. Gina's the one that wears the dazzly shoes.
Yeah, like lots of glitter, stilettos, and pink.
Right. So, Alex, what's your story for how did you get started with the team and watching?
Yeah, I think it sounds pretty lame, but I think it was just my RA telling us, you know, hey, everyone, let's go to a hockey game. I think like a fair bit of people, maybe we didn't know hockey at all before going up to Tech. I certainly maybe gone to one or two Wings games, a part of like an elementary school promotion before that. But never really watched a hockey game with the intent of watching a hockey game. But, you know, after one or two games, I can't remember who we played that first weekend, and I doubt it was anything too spectacular, but just loved the energy of the Misfits. And then it just seemed like a really cool thing to be a part of. And so just pretty much I went to every single game, sans one or two after that, and the rest is history.
All right. And Matt, the most recent member of the crew here.
Yeah, most recent, I think, you know, that also comes with being the youngest. We did try to get Evan on here, but he's out of town. But this is a story that I think is going to juice you guys right up. So I've only missed one GLI in my entire life, and it was not my first one. So since I was in diapers, I've been going to the GLI. Like, I used to live in the Detroit area. And I started going as a Michigan State fan because my uncle went there and was a player that actually got on the cover of Sports Illustrated there. So I kind of always started going there.
Smoking green or snorting white?
Well, I can read and can write. So that's the important thing here. Yeah, there we go. But like every year I went, I just gravitated more and more towards Tech. And that was during the bad years. So like I would see them get blown out. And this is around when the Misfits were starting to take off. And I'm like, they don't care if they're getting blown out. They are still going nuts. That's incredible. I want to be a part of that. So it actually played a big role in my college decision. So once I got there and saw it was all about at home, I was in it. That was it. I was hooked. My freshman year was Dinsmore's senior year. So he was the president when I got there. And my first game, I was handed a flag, and that was it. I was hooked for the rest of my life.
I think Alex...
Nice. Yeah, we'll talk about the flags a little bit later. That's one of the audience participation questions. So we're going to try to track down where, you know, which one of you guys was there when that actually took off and where it's at now. So, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. Talk a little bit more about some more individual stuff here first. Obviously, a big part of Misfits is road trips, travel. Let's talk about two road trip topics for each of you. We'll talk about what's the longest one you've been on, and then what's your favorite one? Because obviously they may be the same, right? For all of us, I know that probably is the same. But we'll start at the top out with Matt, and we'll go back downwards this time. So what's your longest road trip? What's your favorite road trip?
My longest road trip was probably, I'm the only one that ever had to play an NCAA tournament on this panel, which is pretty sweet. So
yeah, just brag about it.
I went to Cincinnati. Yeah, I got it. That's my claim to fame. But yeah, we won Broadmoor like on a Sunday, and I had to get a trip planned and approved by student activities by Thursday. So here I am running around everywhere begging everyone for money, and I eventually get enough donations and like pull from our own accounts enough to make it free for 30 kids to go to Cincinnati. So it's my favorite one and my longest one, because I think just between when we went down, we hit Chicago traffic, so it took us like 17 hours to get there on the way there. It was awful, but that's definitely my longest, and it's probably the one I am most proud of, so therefore, you know, probably my favorite as well.
Yeah, that was a decent series. I was at that one, too. I think, Tim, you were down there, too, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Denver was an NHL team that year. I didn't even care that we lost. I knew we were going to. I just wanted to go.
It was a good one. That was the Penn State fans year, too, right?
Yeah, they were great. Yep. I'm still friends with a lot of them.
So that sparked a little bit of the crap talking that goes back and forth with Penn State, as well as some friendships with Penn State folks. It was a good time.
I'd say that more or less ended the trash talk with us, because for a lot of us, we were bitter about the Big Ten being started. But then when we actually got to meet them, they're really cool people, and they were indifferent about what conference they went to. They were just excited to have hockey.
They just want hockey,
kind of a
right?
Neat experience, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. For sure.
More hockey is always better.
Agreed. All right, Alex, how about you? You're up next.
It has to be that first NCAA bout since 1981 in Fargo, North Dakota. That was a wild trip to plan. Because, I mean, I think all the presidents can agree you get, like, not much budget. And then you kind of tap out your like the students through, like, the one or two trips to Northern and stuff. So once that happened, that was pretty crazy, just running around to, you know, I think we got a lot of good graces from athletics. We got a lot of good graces from USG. They gave us a fair bit of money. I think to the point, did we get to go for free? You know, it was something super reduced, but just super thankful for that trip. But yeah, that was, you know, all the way to Fargo, which was, I think, the farthest we traveled in my 4 years. And then coming off a loss that first night in overtime, I can still just picture that very vividly in my head. And I,
one more step around the Sweeney.
Yeah, we all know who fell on the blue line.
But I do stand corrected. I was the second one in this group to have an NCAA trip. I was just the only one. I was the only one to have two, in my opinion.
The only good part about that trip ended up being the pile of money that I got to lay in bed with from all the tickets I sold to North Dakota fans.
We made it rain on Jaeger with our extra money. There is a video out there somewhere of us flinging money on Jaeger in a hotel bed.
Speaking of Jaeger, Jaeger still sucks.
Jaeger sucks.
Jaeger sucks. That's going in the liner notes for sure.
That can just be the title of the Jaeger episode.
I love that.
I was so depressed after that game, I couldn't even drink.
Wow.
He refused to attend this on three reasons. One is that he doesn't like public speaking. Two is that he's not really paying attention to the team this year. And three is that he doesn't have a good memory.
And he sucks.
So he does suck.
Yeah.
I mean, so he sucks. I told him. So I was like, all right, if you're not coming, like, we're just going to make fun of you then.
I didn't even know if he was invited. I didn't want to talk to him about it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We fund everything at Tech Hockey Guide from listeners like you. You can show your support by becoming a patron at patreon.com/techhockeyguide. Whether you're interested in question priority, access to patron-only Zoom chats with coaches and players, in-stat deep dives, extended versions of the podcast, unedited video or audio, early access, or commercial-free listening, there's a level for you. We also now have 15% discounts off annual memberships with tiers ranging from $2 to $50 per month. Again, sign up at patreon.com/techhockeyguide.
Do you work in manufacturing, product design, or product development? Is your business trying to improve efficiency while also producing at scale? Livonia Technical Services can help. They provide world-class quality improvement training and consulting for failure modes and effect analysis, product development, and cost reduction. All things that could help Northern Michigan assemble a competent defense. If you think your business could use a prevention mindset and reduce manufacturing costs, a partnership with Livonia Technical Services might be right for you. Check them out at livoniatech.net. That's LIVONIA tech.net.
All right, Gina, how about you? Longest trip and the one you enjoyed the most.
So I think my longest official Misfit trip was the Final Five? What did we used to call it?
Final Five.
It used to be
the Final Five. One, Final Five.
Okay. Yeah. You got
we
there.
All crashed at my house.
We're starting to reach back a long ways in memories at this point as we go farther down the line. So it's okay.
That was the one I crashed at Bethlyn's house. Yeah. So we divvied up the Misfits into Tim's house and Bethlyn's house. And someone else's house too, but as far as like official Misfit trip, yeah, that was I think my farthest. The weekend before that, I was in Colorado Springs. I was on a 10-day like spring break trip out to watch Tech play CC, and so that was great, but not official trip. But so that was the longest of somehow Minneapolis, and funnest was probably fifth year in Duluth. It was probably like. So that would have been, I think that was your guys' freshman year, Alex. I think that was your freshman 11, year trip.
12, I think.
It was, it was the 11-12 season. And that was when Robo, like, shut out Duluth for, like, four periods or something. And then we got like, we painted, we did like EDDX, like the full EDDX chant on our stomachs. And we like, we sang to them when they were in the stairwell. It was a great weekend. Probably one of my favorite hockey weekends of all time.
Not Vegas?
It's not official.
Yeah, we're talking about official stuff here.
We can talk about favorite road trip.
Okay, not a Misfit related one, an alumni one after that too. We can go to that one too.
Pretty high up there. It was just the anniversary of our like our Mosa, the Mosa bar,
the bottomless mimosas at the Bellagio.
Yeah. That was a good time.
All right, Beth,
well, now we're getting to the point where the money was a lot thinner back in the early days. during my reign of terror, we actually did have a UMD trip or two or three. And then, of course, the Northern trips every year. And we kept adding more and did a great job during my time. But every single year after my year, by the way, Rob, you went backwards. You should have started with me, and then we get more impressive as we go. Now we're ending on a pretty low note. But yeah, those.
There's definitely a bit of yin and yang with how the memories are going to be for this entire episode.
So yeah, we had a lot of great Northern trips. One of the most challenging things is keeping everybody excited when we're getting shut out every single time. But we had a couple of very successful Duluth trips. One, we brought, I want to say 40 people, a bus of 40 people. And before we went to the deck, I went to the dollar store in the mall and got all the annoying noisemakers that I could possibly find. And we were so loud and annoying at the deck. And the guys really felt that energy and they won. And it was really awesome. And all the guys and the coaches and the parents of the players were super excited and they couldn't stop talking about it for weeks. So that was probably my most fun one. No NCAA, not even a WCHA tournament to speak of, but a couple of fun trips in there anyway.
Yeah, I don't know if Tim, if you want to answer that one or not. There weren't official trips official, for you.
So it was basically like the longest trip was me, Nesbitt, and Beth Lynn on Beth Lynn's first time ever and meeting Nesbitt. Me. And Nesbitt. She hopped in my car and we drove to North Dakota. And it is the longest trip.
So what is your feeling? What is your feeling about, you know, midway through Minnesota there, Bethlehem, and the choices you've made?
On that trip, I called my mom to let her know. So I was staying up at Tech during spring break and I was starting to go crazy. And Tim sent out this email to the Misfits. Anybody want to go to Grand Forks? Like tomorrow, we're going to leave. Like, yes, I need to get out of here. So yeah, I climbed in the car with those two and on our way out, I eventually picked up the phone.
We made it all the way to Bruce's Crossing before shit went wrong.
I called my...
Because Nesbitt was driving and my car... Like, I had gotten a speeding ticket in Michigan earlier, and they're really a pain in the butt about tickets if you're not a Michigan resident. So we decided that Nesbitt would drive through Michigan and I would drive through Wisconsin and we'd figure out the rest.
Strategery.
So my car, the parking brake was broken, but the apparatus that would engage it or disengage it was still underneath my car. So it would bounce off the ground every once in a while and it would hit right underneath your feet when you're driving. And Nesbitt was like, what is that? And I'm like, well, then when we get to the next town, just pull over and I'll show you what it is. It's not a big deal. So he pulls over and catches my tire on a rain gutter and slashes the front tire in Bruce's Crossing. And there's no place to get a tire fixed in Bruce's Crossing. So we went to the hardware store to try and get, like, Fix-A-Flat or something. But I have, like, a 4-inch slash on the side of my tire. So the owner of the hardware store in Bruce's Crossing gives us their truck. So we take the spare or take the tire out, drive it to the next town, get it fixed, drive back and get it on the car, and then drive, get back on the road and keep going. And then we got to like, what, Ashland?
I thought we made it to Duluth or Superior.
We made it to Duluth, but somewhere around Ashland, my transmission starts acting weird. So we decide we're going to rent a car in Duluth to get the rest of the way. And I don't want that. So we had to rent a car in Duluth. Then we drove all the way to North Dakota. We get there, what, at the start of the second period or something? Can yes, we miss we two did. Whole periods? Okay. Yeah, it took way too long because of all the issues we had.
Oh, that sucks.
So then we get there at the start of the third, and for whatever reason, the tickets the team was supposed to have left for us were not there. So they just let us in, and then I went up to the top of the arena to, like, yell at who would have been at
Fish.
That time.
Was it Fish?
Because it wasn't... No, not Fisher. Who's... It was probably John Omen, I would guess, who I was like, hey, our tickets weren't there, you know. But anyway, like, and we lost, and then we went out drinking and had a fine time, whatever.
Well, not me. I but was not get, of
we
age.
We stay in this, like... Well, so then we get to the hotel, and the hotel is dirt cheap, and it's one of those hotels that has, like, beds that vibrate if you put a quarter in.
It's $30 a night.
Yeah, it was like $30 a night. So it's like
the Econolodge?
Me and Nesbitt in one bed, and Bethlen gets the other bed, and there's quarters. You can, like, make the bed vibrate for a quarter. So we had a blast of a weekend watching our team get smoked by North Dakota for four periods.
Yeah.
And then we had to drive all the way back and get my car back. And then I had a buddy, like, drive down from Houghton to, like, drive with us in case my car died. It's a good time. So that's my, like, longest road trip. And then my favorite road trip, which is not a Misfits trip either, but it's my favorite one ever, is when we went, Dustin and Bethlen and I flew out to CC to watch Tech win a playoff series for the first time in God knows how long. And the funniest part is, I think my favorite part of that whole trip is the game we lost and the tub full of Pepsi Jazz we got. Because for whatever reason, the arena was giving away Pepsi Jazz that night. And we decided that we should take it all because nobody else wanted it because it was crappy, terrible stuff.
We got a pallet.
80
of it.
Bottles.
We got like 80 bottles and filled the bathtub with it and dumped ice on it and then... went to the liquor store to figure out what we could mix it with.
Pepsi Jazz was
terrible.
Terrible.
We just stopped it there.
It was terrible.
Oh, God.
I don't remember.
And it didn't help anything that Rob Green decided to chug the whole bottle that actually did make it taste somewhat okay. But yeah, that's my favorite trip.
Nice. Matt has Matt's calling his first audible of the night. He wants to refine his favorite answer now, so...
Yeah, the problem for me is that Cincinnati trip, like, traumatized me so much trying to raise all that money so quickly that I get stuck on it when I start talking about it. But my favorite one was probably Duluth Icebreaker.
That was a lot of,
and during my last year. It was hilarious because, like, the first thing, because, you know, it's not a Misfits trip unless, like, several things go wrong, as I'm sure you've seen the theme so far. So the first thing that we went wrong is we were supposed to be posted up in, like, a Holiday Inn. And then, like, 2 days before we go there, they're like, nope, we can't have you. We're booked up. And then we were like, what do you mean? We reserved it. So we were scrambling to find a replacement to that. So we ended up finding the Superior Inn in Superior, mm-hmm. Wisconsin. And that is
a you can thank my husband for that.
Establishment.
I almost stayed there.
Yes, that's David's suggestion, isn't it? I have stayed there too.
While we were there, there were definitely some scantily clad women asking, you know, the shortest amount of time that you can, you know, rent a room. So we got there, and our slogan for, like, the whole trip was it's. Fine. it's fine. So we go to the first game and we beat Union, which was sick. So then after that, we're trying to figure out where to go. So we go to the Anchor Bar back in Superior, and we find out, you know, in Wisconsin, as long as a person who's of age is buying, anybody can drink, and they had, like, $3 pitchers of Grain Belt.
I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be apparent.
Yeah, everyone said it's like.
It's supposed to be apparent, yeah. Correct, but
I'm also pretty sure that the Anchor Bar just doesn't care.
It's a suggestion. It's fine.
It's fine. So everyone was going wild there, and then it was really funny because our travel coordinator got locked out of his own room and then ended up spending the night with us. We just, like, ended up having a riot of a time with him. And then the next day we go out and win the thing, and I get to hold another trophy and rattle Tim's cage a little bit, and I always appreciate
it. Yes, I held that trophy because screw you for getting to hold the McNaughton Cup.
That was it's heavy. You didn't know.
All right. Well, like I said earlier, I'm going to sprinkle some trivia in. So here's the first question that we're going to have. The record of the team during the years that each of you was president, or your official year, Tim, for you. And I'm going to ask you for the total number of wins the team had during your tenure. And I'll give you a plus minus two per year you were there. And I'll give you the total number of games the team played while you were president. Make sense? All right, we'll start with Tim, right? 38 games, Tim. How many wins did Tech have, plus or minus two, because you've got 1 year?
Six.
And if you get it exact, I'll give you a bonus point.
Six. What do we win?
Six. Eight. It was eight. So you get your 1 point, but no bonus point for that.
I was like,
Bethlehem, you got 3 years to deal.
Eight. I'll go six.
No, four belongs to somebody else on this panel. not that exact number, because you got multiple years to deal with, but Bethlehem's got 3 years, so within six of the total of 117 games, how many wins did Tech have while you were the president?
I'm gonna try 21.
No, you're selling them short.
I am, really.
You are way below, actually.
Way below.
33 to 45 would have been acceptable for you. 39 Whoa, total wins.
Oh, good job, guys.
So that's a zero for Bethlehem.
All right.
Goes along with the shutouts that she spoke of earlier. All right, Gina, you've got 2 years.
Yep.
And 77 total games as president.
I think. So the 1 year was 430 and 4.
Yeah. So you've got the bad year.
So I got that year. I think.
Yep.
I think my second year, which is my senior year, I think they got 12 wins. So 16.
That gets you on the lower bound of the plus minus. They had 16 wins that year. 20 would have been your exact number. So one for you as well.
Yay. Really? They had that many wins?
Yeah. Well, right.
You know,
now Alex and Matt get to pick a big number because fancy. You've got 42 games in one season because your year was a really good year, Alex.
Yeah.
So how many total wins were there for the Huskies that year, plus minus two, because you only got 1 year to deal with? Went
10-0 to start. I'm going to say just 21. Seems like a pretty close
game. No, 42
wait,
games.
Oh, hold on. 31.
31 is your upper bound. It was 29 wins. Okay. So you're the first one to get your bonus point.
Yay, go okay. Alex.
You were pretty
all
good.
Right, Matt, you got 2 years to average. 92 games, plus or minus year four for your 2 years.
My spoiled ass got to see 45 wins.
That is correct. That's right on. So you get the 2 points for the exact number.
You got more than twice as many wins as me.
Yeah.
It's not fair.
I started it with my spoiled ass. Don't worry. I know who I am.
So Matt's got 2 points. Gina and Alex and Tim have one, and Bethlehem is continuing the shutouts. So... I'll try to sprinkle the other questions in. Maybe we'll have them all at the end, depending on how I can get them in there. But that's the first one.
I'm pretty
sure
I didn't see 40 wins the first like 6 years I was a fan.
Thank you, Dustin. Thank you.
I don't know.
Yeah. There are some dry years there. There are some dry years. All right. So we're going to talk some just general questions now. We'll talk about favorite road trip because of road trip wise, but on ice stuff. What is your guys' favorite or worst or most memorable moment from an on ice perspective during your time? And it doesn't have to necessarily be an actual game result or anything like that. It can be something that happened at the game as well. Just whatever sticks out in your mind the most. And we'll start in the middle this time with Gina. Cause she looks like she's thinking the most.
Yeah. So my fourth year, so I did a five. So my fourth year, there were two separate occasions where glass was broken. So I thought that was really cool because I had never seen glass broken in a hockey game before. So I'm going to go with, I think Alex McLeod broke glass one game and, oh man, I can't remember who the other one. Might have been Cousins? No, I don't know. But yeah, I'm going to go with getting to see glass broken twice.
I've only seen that once myself, and it was at a St. Norbert's game, of all places.
Tim and I saw an especially memorable one in Anchorage at one point of glass breaking. Mm-hmm.
But My favorite memory is the time, I don't remember who did it or if it was even me, but somebody tried to bribe Derek Shepherd through the glass and he took the money and skated away.
Dustin, was that you?
No.
I don't remember who it was.
I think that might be a story that he told us.
No, I'm pretty sure we were there and he did it. I think, like, I might have done it and then he bought drinks at the bar.
We could have an entire like series of podcasts over Derek Shepherd stories.
Yeah, or just refs in general. That could be fun. That would have to definitely be a Patreon one though.
Yeah,
we could get Shepherd on. He might even call in.
He might. Yeah. Maybe we'll get him on for a monthly Zoom chat.
That would be a good one.
It would.
How about you, Alex? What's your most memorable on ice of a hockey game event moment?
Ooh, on ice, I think it's the shutout of or the sweep of Michigan. Just I think senior year, the very lucky year out of all four. But I think just getting to tell people at home and just rub it in their faces, knowing that they were Michigan hockey fans as well. I mean, it was just cool to, you know, to see Tech, this tiny school, beat them. But then at the same time, having that connection with all my friends was pretty cool. And then anytime, you know, we can get like half off pizza or something, it's not too bad.
I think that might be the start of the 0-10 run, if I'm remembering correctly. Ooh. That's the year of the
10-0
or the 10-0 run. Sorry, yeah, I'm so used to saying the other way, but yeah. I think that's the start of the 10-0 run year. Without looking, I've got too many tabs open from doing research before this to find it quickly.
I think I got it. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the start of that year, right? How about you, Matt?
I kind of feel bad because I feel like mine's so much better than everyone else. I got to storm the ice twice, which was it always stands out to you whenever you get to storm. Yeah, there's that wonderful finger from Tim. But the second time we did it, when we beat Bowling Green to win the Broadmoor, was definitely a big highlight for me. I don't remember crying that hard in my life. There's still some very funny pictures of me just like sobbing, laying down at center ice and all that good stuff. And winning it all Northern the next year was great as well, but it just wasn't quite the same as winning it at home, breaking the streak, feeling the building erupt like that. It was just really something else to be there for.
That was a really cool game. I agree. That was very high up there.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, I'm lucky enough to have the top moment on my presidency be like have an overlap with the top Tech hockey moment of the last 40 years.
That was a pretty great moment.
All right, Bethlen, what's yours during your time?
How many points is this one worth?
This one's not trivia. No points for this one.
I mean, there are so many, but none of them would have even been possible without that moment we already talked about, October 18th, 2003, that amazing comeback game. So I wasn't even a sports fan. I'd never really watched hockey. It's one of those times where you don't even know what offsides is. You're just there and checking this out, and that just changes your life forever. So that is got to be obviously my number one moment. But first I thought, you know, you said on ice, I thought you were talking about like on ice challenges. That's what I thought you were at first referring to.
Yeah, I would imagine most of you guys being a part of the Misfits, have all of you guys participated in at least one on ice challenge?
Yeah.
I did. No? Yeah, I got one. Yes. And it was back when Kaylee Jeter was one of the people doing that, and she was out recruiting, and she came to me and she's like, I need you on the ice. I need you. And I'm like, oh, no. Go pick this guy. Pick that guy. She's like, nope.
You've done two.
Not in Duluth. I'm not talking about that one. So they brought me on the ice with some other poor sucker, and they handed me a bunch of large pieces of paper, 14 pieces of paper with letters on them, all scrambled up, and it spelled Vlasovlevich. So we had to spell it, and she knew, like, okay, Bethlen knows this. No one else probably does. If we pick anybody else, we're going to be here forever. So
oh, that's pretty good.
That was a pretty good one.
That's amazing.
I will say one more on-ice moment that is probably my favorite ever is winning in Madison and taking my shirt off as a gigantic fat man and seeing the smirk on Mark Malikoff's face that I could see on his face that he was disgusted, but he was also happy as hell that the other like 12,000 people there were also disgusted.
Yeah, that was back when the Kohl Center actually had hockey fans in it for games.
Those are good times.
I don't know if you guys with the newer presidents would have had that atmosphere in the Kohl Center that was experienced by Bethlen and Gina.
That Kohl Center was crazy back then.
The Crease Creatures, just breaking out to another fan group for a second, the Crease Creatures doing three full tiers of the tequila stuff is a sight to behold. It's also incredibly intimidating when you and your group of like four or five fans are the only one in your section and the entire arena chants asshole at you.
I've never been more intimidated at a rink in my life than their sip chant, honestly.
Yeah, it's impressive. It's the best. When they used to have a full rink, it was fantastic. And it's just really sad to see what's happened to hockey down there over the last 10 years.
What I've experienced in my trips is that we go there and then all the Wisconsin fans, like all the old ones, get all their panties in a bunch about how like the 20 tech kids up in the upper bowl are making their kids look like bitches.
Yeah,
the whole game.
That would not have mattered whatsoever back in the day when they were a powerhouse in the WCHA. It was crazy. Yeah,
got a whole series of tweets of just angry people that we were just making look stupid.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those places that was intimidating to go to for sure.
1 minute remaining in the podcast.
Well, that should do it for this replay episode of the Chasing McNaughton podcast. Please let us know what you think of running replays during the offseason. You can support Tech Hockey Guide by becoming a patron. Check out all our tiers at patreon.com/techhockeyguide. Including student discounted tiers. With an annual membership, students can get almost 60% off a monthly membership. Patrons at the white level or above receive question priority. Patrons at the black level or above receive access to extra podcast content, including extended versions of every podcast and our monthly patron-only episodes. The first one dropped April 2024. Patrons at the gold level or above receive access to unfiltered YouTube video of our podcast each week. There are other ways to support the podcast, including subscribing to the podcast on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcast. The more you rate, review, and share, the more people you can reach, so tell your friends. If you give us a 5-star rating, Dustin will read the review you leave, no matter what it says, so let's get some ratings and see what you have to say. Follow us on Twitter at ChasingMacPod or at Tech Hockey Guide. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Arcadia Insurance, providing home, auto, boat, life insurance, and more to nearly all of the Midwest, Fibke Dental in Rhinelander, Wisconsin, and Livonia Technical Services. Finally, thanks to the thank you notes for all the bumpers in this week's episode. If you like what you hear, check them out at thethankyounotes.bandcamp.com.
Tell me how it must feel.
You've been listening to the Chasing McNaughton Podcast, presented by Tech Hockey Guide, covering the Michigan Tech Huskies and the CCHA.
Did he tell you about that, Gina?
Yeah, he did, and it was really funny because it was actually like right when we were listening to that episode. So all of a sudden that came on, and he's just like, "Ah, that's for me. I'm an idiot." But I was like, well, I mean, I guess I can kind of see what you're talking about, because I'm like, the thank you notes as in like, oh, it's like the footnotes of the show. It's the thank yous. And I was like, oh, haha, I see what he did there. He's like, that was for me.